Okay, we're so glad you're back with us today at GoldSeek.com Radio. We've got a special nugget segment prepared for you with self-made billionaire Jim Rogers. Gold and silver are both up about 10% already in 2014. Jim Rogers joins us from his office in Singapore with his outlook on the sector and related economic vantage point. Good morning, Jim Rogers.
I am delighted to be here. How are you this morning?
Thank you for asking. We're kind of shoveling through the last of this nor'easter here on the East Coast, but I don't think that's something you all have to worry about too much in Singapore.
Well, Singapore's on the equator, so it's either always hot or hot and rainy. And if it's raining, it's not going to rain long. It's going to be hot again soon.
Well, we're looking forward to some of that warm weather. Well, let's begin with the markets here. You know, last week, the precious metals posted an impressive rally on news of the floundering domestic economic recovery and the plunging U.S. dollar. Investors added some precious metals investments on also on comments from the new Fed head, Dr. Yellen, in her first testimony to Congress. As head of the Fed, she noted that the central bank could reduce the pace of assets purchases like mortgage-backed securities. You know, they've already cut twice now, back-to-back, another $10 billion at the March meeting.
Well, no, they will continue on the path that they have stated until there's a lot of pain in the markets, and then they will panic, and then they will give in, and then they will stop cutting back. Everybody will sigh. Will heave a sigh of relief and say, oh, it's going to be okay. The markets will then rally, and that will probably be the final big rally. I mean, that may not be till 2015 or 16. I don't know. I'm just saying that that's my view of how they will proceed. You got to remember, Chris, you know, these are bureaucrats. That's why they work for the government. They don't have much experience, so they will panic and then give in.
You know, that's certainly been a page right out of their playbook, adding liquidity and stimulus to the system every time the economy has a cold. Unfortunately, it looks like that policy doesn't have the punch it used to have.
No, of course it doesn't, especially given the fact that the debt is now so much higher. When you do something like that, when the economies are smaller and the debt situation is smaller, the money that has been printed is smaller, but the bigger it gets, the more you have to pump. And that's why it's working less and less and less.
Well, let's shift over to the precious metals. You know, the Indian gold curve significantly lowered global gold demand. China picked up a lot of that demand. As their middle class becomes more and more affluent, their propensity and appetite for the yellow metal and related precious metals investments in jewelry seems to be making up for it. But now there's some talk that Indian officials seeing strength in the rupee, so they're less concerned about these restrictions on gold imports, and that could boost demand sometime later in this year.
For months, it's how stunned I was that nobody in the U.S. investment community even knew what was going on in India. There's an election coming, Chris, so Indian politicians will do everything they can to pander to the voters, no question. One of those things may be to, you know, try to remove some of the restrictions on gold. I wouldn't be too optimistic that it will last, but it depends on who's going to win. You know, after the election, the problems are not going away. The Indian problems are their balance of trade, their deficit, et cetera. But they may certainly do something before the election to get more votes.
You've also gone on record that gold could drop to $1,000 an ounce before finding a firm bottom. Goldman Sachs analysts, they share your sentiments. Has the price action, though, in the past couple of months maybe changed your outlook? Are you still somewhat skeptical?
Well, there was a gigantic short position in gold earlier this year, and that would probably lead to a rally. At least it nearly always does. When it's a big short position in anything, it often leads to a rally. So that's what's happened. We had this gigantic short position. We have had and are having the rally. Is the bear market, I mean, is the correction in gold over? I have no idea. People should listen to Gold Seek Radio to get an answer to that. I'm just watching. I suspect there will be another chance to buy gold, but I certainly have not sold any gold, as I've told you many, many times, and don't plan to sell my gold until it turns into the eventual bubble that it probably will someday.
For our listeners who might be curious, when you talk about the large short position, I'm assuming from your comments you might be referring to the Commitment of Traders report on gold. Maybe the commercials and some of the insiders had a large short position there, net short?
Yes. I'm talking about the Commitment of Traders. It's published every week in the U.S. And, you know, normally when you see the, quote, speculators very big on one side of a market, the market usually goes the other way.
And then on your comments of a speculative fervor at some distant point in the future, there's always conjecture on this topic, but one of the more level-headed analysts that we really appreciate, like yourself on the show, is John Williams at ShadowStats, has established quite a reputation as well. He'd always been talking about the threat of hyperinflation, but now he's calling for it as soon as this year because he fears a dollar collapse.
A hyperinflation in the U.S. in 2014.
Due to a dollar collapse.
Well, John is a smart guy, and I certainly admire him, and whenever I see something by him, I read it to see what he's saying. I would be skeptical that there's a dollar collapse in 2014, but anything is possible. My goodness, there's enough madness going on in Washington and in other parts of the world, so why not? I happen to be long the U.S. dollar at the moment, so I'm not expecting it this year. I do it. The reason I'm long the U.S. dollar is because there's going to be a lot more turmoil in the world in the next year, two, three. And normally, or often, when there's a lot of turmoil, people flee to the U.S. dollar because they think it is, quote, a safe haven. It is not a safe haven, as you know, Chris, but many people think it is, so that's where they will go. So I'm long the dollar. I don't expect it to collapse this year. But who knows? Anything can happen. I mean, if war breaks out or even more madness comes out of Washington, anything can happen.
Take a look at what's happening in Argentina. You know, we're looking at over a 50% increase in inflation as the peso continues to slide, and there seems to be considerable currency troubles and woes in the emerging markets. So, you know, you would expect folks to flee to more stable currencies like the U.S. dollar and the Treasury.
I just said it's perceived as a stable place to be or a safe place. No, the U.S. dollar is the largest debtor nation in the history of the world, and the debts are going higher and higher and higher. But there are many more problems in other parts of the world, too. It's not that the U.S. is stable or the dollar is stable or the treasuries are stable. It's just that they're perceived to be or they're perceived to be less bad. I certainly did not suggest that the U.S. dollar is a sound currency or a stable situation.
That's duly noted. Thank you. And, you know, the threat of bail-ins is another issue. Pension confiscations, things of that nature, beginning with Cyprus, you might say, moving further north to some of the other neighbors there in the EU. And now some concerns here with legislation, even in the United States, that our private funds might be at risk from government confiscation and other machinations. You went on record recently noting that you're somewhat concerned about pension plan confiscation and that you are making some preparations of your own.
Well, I'm sure it's going to happen. It's already happened. You mentioned Cyprus. It wasn't pensions. It was bank accounts. The EU banking authorities have already made it possible for the governments to take people's bank accounts. Federal Reserve has also made it possible in their regulations that in a desperate situation that they too will confiscate people's bank accounts or the money from people's bank accounts to save the banks. They've decided that the banks are more important than the individuals and their money. So yes, it's going to happen. It's happened in I think Poland has already confiscated some of the pension plans. Other countries are preparing to confiscate pension plans. So, yeah, it's certainly going to happen in the U.S. There have been bills introduced in Congress already making it possible and setting up the way it will be done. So, no, it's certainly going to happen when things get difficult. In the 1930s, they confiscated everybody's gold to save what they said was to save the financial system. Well, gold's not part of the monetary system now as it was in the 1930s, so this time they will confiscate the pension plan. Besides, there's a lot more money in pension plans than there is in gold.
You know, another threat to retirees, folks on fixed income, inflation combined with low rates of return on their investments. This is something you've talked about recently, that you're concerned that the savings class on a global scale is being jeopardized or is threatened by duality of inflation and low returns on their money. It almost appears as though investors are forced to gamble excessive risks at a time when they really should be lowering their risk exposure. Any thoughts?
Investing class is not being threatened. They're being destroyed, Chris. All those people who did everything right or what has traditionally been considered right saved their money. They didn't go deep into debt. They didn't buy 5 or 6 houses with no money down. They're now getting wiped out to save the people who did it the wrong way. The people who saved up their money are now getting no return on it and are being totally destroyed because this has been going on for some time. And the way the government is stalking, it's going to continue for a while. So this is not good for any of us. People, everybody, not just me, but everybody is looking for a way to get a proper return without too much risk. Unfortunately, many people are taking more and more risk, and often that leads to problems down the road.
You know, stocks are certainly the trade of the year for 2013. The streets are still lined, I think, with bear carcasses. However, one prominent firm recently announced it's doubling its bearish bet that the S&P 500 is headed for a fall. According to the latest 13F filings, apparently there are some big risks emerging in China that could lead to an equities meltdown circa 2008. I'd like your thoughts on the equities market.
Well, there are many equities markets, as you know, and many of them have already had meltdowns. If you go to Turkey or some Indonesia or other places, you'll see that there have already been big meltdowns in some countries. And China, the stock market is down. Its all-time high was in 2008. It's down nearly 70 from there. It could go down more. There's nothing to prevent any market from having more collapse. There are debt problems in China, just as there are debt problems all over the world. I don't know where the next spark will come from. What usually happens in any market is the marginal players start having problems first, and then that spreads to more and more people. We're already having some marginal players having problems. And it will undoubtedly spread to more and more people. Whether the meltdown is this year or, as I said earlier, what I expect is that the Federal Reserve will continue to cut back. Other central banks are not cutting back, but eventually that will lead to problems in the markets. So sometime in the next few months, then the Federal Reserve and other central banks will panic. Then a big, big rally will come. I would suspect that that would be the last rally before we have the big collapse, I think was the word you used. But I don't know whether that'll be 2014, 15, or 16. It just depends on how things unfold. You mentioned earlier that the dollar may collapse this year. Well, if that happens, the equity markets around the world are going to collapse this year, too.
You always seem to be forward-looking. Give folks a glimpse into the future of what Jim Rogers sees on the horizon, please.
Well, that's a very good question. I'm mainly watching at the moment. I haven't stumbled across anything totally new. I mean, I think we may have discussed that I'm looking for investments in Russia. The Chinese government had a huge meeting in November, and which they say is one of the three most important things in China in the past 35 years to decide which industries they're going to focus on. Well, I'm looking at those industries too, on the theory that if the Chinese government is going to spend a lot of money on an industry, I should put some money there, too. They have more money than I do. They've certainly been more successful than most countries in the world for a while. I'm watching. I'm watching Japan. I wouldn't mind buying some more Japanese shares. I actually own the yen for the first time in a while because there were huge short positions in the yen. I'm looking. There's something else I did recently. I can't think of it at the moment. If I think of it, I'll send you an email.
We'd appreciate it. And I wonder then if you're watching Alibaba, much anticipated IPO expected from China sometime this year.
Well, I'm certainly watching Alibaba. They have done a brilliant job. It would depend on the price and more financial statistics. They were public 2 or 3 years ago. I did own it when they were public the last time. So I may buy it again this time if and when they do come public again. Thank you, Chris.